Thank you, Alvin, for giving us the reading of the scripture there from Matthew chapter 25. And I encourage each and every one to keep your Bibles opened up there to Matthew 25, because we're going to begin there this morning as we engage in our lesson this morning titled, How Can We Expect to Hear Well Done, Good and Faithful Servant? As servants of Jesus Christ, I venture to say that each and every one of us long for the day when our Lord and Master shall say, Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. However, as good Bible students, we realize that in the context of Matthew chapter 25, there in verses 14 through 30, as we read what is commonly referred to as the parable of the talents, there are three servants mentioned in that parable. But did you know only two of the three heard those wonderful words, well done, good and faithful servant? You see, the other servant, as we learn, heard the sad words, you wicked and lazy servant, as we see there in Matthew 25 and verse 26. And we read that this unprofitable servant was cast into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, as we see there in verse 30. Think about that. You know what that tells us? It tells us that not all servants will hear those wonderful words, well done, good and faithful servant. So with that thought in mind, I ask the question, how can we expect to hear well done, good and faithful servant? To answer that question, we're going to open up our Bibles this morning and we're going to take a look at some lessons taught by our Lord and Master Himself in regard to what is going to be required of us if we are going to someday hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. And let's just begin there in Matthew 25 in the text that Alvin read for us a few moments ago in this parable of the talents. And let's suggest that the Lord tells us here that we can learn that if we're going to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, we must be faithful servants. Did you notice that? You see, there in this parable, again, we learn that the words good and faithful describe the two servants who heard those words, well done. And it's important to note that those two words, good and faithful, that they denote being true to one's master's interest. They denote not being idle or inactive, but rather being honest in exercising the trust of their master for his benefit. That's important. That's important that we recognize that. And if we are going to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, we must be faithful servants. That means we must be willing to follow the Lord's commands. That means we must be people who are true to our master's interest and honest in exercising the trust of our master for his benefit. When I think about that, and I think about the need to be faithful, when I think about the need to be willing to follow the Lord's commands, I can't help but to think about what Jesus teaches there in Matthew chapter 7. Open up your Bibles with me, if you will, there to Matthew chapter 7. And there in Matthew chapter 7, and in verse number 21, notice these words of Jesus with me. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Stop there for a moment. You see, here we learn that Jesus is making it clear that not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, it's important to note that the word Lord here comes from a Greek word that means ruler. It denotes one who is in control. And Jesus is our Lord. He is our ruler. He is in control. He is the one who has all authority. And he is our master. And Jesus is emphasizing the fact here that not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter heaven. But he who does what? The will of my Father in heaven. You see, we go on to see there, picking up in verse 22, where Jesus says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Think about that. Let that sink in. You see, if we want to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," there's something that's going to be required of us. We must keep the commandments of God. And we see here in verse 22 where there's going to be many on that judgment day who are going to think that they've done the will of God. They're going to think that they've done what God has expected of them. But notice what Jesus says in that next verse. "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." You see, brethren, we need to recognize that if we are going to someday hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," we must do the will of God. That's important. Logan and I just talked about that this morning in our new convert study. Logan had just obeyed the gospel this past Sunday. And there are things as we're studying in our new convert study that he needs to realize that are going to be required of him as a Christian. And one of those things that we talked about this morning that Christians must recognize is the fact that they must always do God's will over their will. They must realize the need to keep God's commandments. And not only do new converts need to be reminded of that, taught that, and learned that, but all servants of the Lord need to be reminded of that. Because it seems like there are some who forget that. Who forget the fact that God's will is to be before our own will. And if we're going to someday hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," we must be a people who do the will of our Father in heaven. You see, it's going to be pretty inconsistent of us as servants of the Lord to address our Lord as Lord without doing what he expects of his servants to do, isn't it? That's very inconsistent of a servant to declare to Jesus as Lord and to call him Lord and not do what he expects us to do. Jesus emphasizes this there in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Remember that question Jesus asked there? Jesus specifically asked, "Why do you call me Lord and do not do the things I say?" Think about that. Even Jesus, our Master himself, recognizes that it's inconsistent for a servant to call him Lord and fail to do what he has said to do. And failure to do what he has said to do will keep us from hearing those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And instead of hearing those wonderful words, we'll someday hear those sad words, "Depart from me. I never knew you." We don't want to hear those words, do we? And that's why it's important that we need to understand the need to be faithful servants. The need to keep and follow the Lord's commands. We learned there in John chapter 14, verse 15. Remember what Jesus said there? "If ye love me, do what? Keep my commandments." Simply put, what Jesus was telling us is if we truly love him, we will keep his commandments. And we need to be mindful of that. As servants of Jesus Christ, if we truly love our Lord and Master, we're going to do what he says. We're going to keep his commandments. And if we want to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," We must keep the commandments of our Lord. But I also suggest to us this morning, from the parable there and of the talents found there in Matthew 25, that if we are going to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," we must use the ability that we have been given to be a worker for the Lord. You see, there are many valuable lessons that can be gained from this parable. We're not going to take the time this morning to exactly identify all the valuable lessons that can be gained from this parable of the talents. But we are going to recognize some valuable points that we can see from this parable that help us recognize what's going to be required of us if we're going to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And not only do we learn from that parable the need to be faithful servants, but we also learn from this parable the need to use the ability that we have been given, the need to recognize the fact that we must not squander the abilities that we have been blessed with, but rather we must take what we have been blessed with and use it for the Lord's glory. You see, as we see here in this parable, go back there to Matthew 25. As we see here, each servant was given at least one talent. Now we see there was one servant who was given five, one who was given two, and one who was given one. But each servant was given at least one talent. And we also see from this parable that each one was expected to put that talent that was given to them to work. Do you realize that? You see, even as servants in the kingdom of God, each and every one of us have some ability. Each and every one of us has some ability that we can use for the Lord and His service. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that the Lord is displeased with laziness and wasted opportunities. We see that in this parable, don't we? And as we see there in Matthew 25. Because let's pick up here and notice here in verse number 24. It says, "Then he who had received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.'" Now pay attention to verse 26. "But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away.'" Now watch verse 30. "What's the fate of that wicked and lazy servant? 'And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Simply put, we learn that the Lord expects us to use what he has given us. No questions asked. And we learn that this one talent servant, the servant who got one talent, he squandered that talent, didn't he? He wasted that opportunity by burying that talent. Now think about that. How sad it is that there are many today who are blessed with ability, who squander that ability and waste opportunities to use that ability to glorify the Lord in His service. How sad that there are many today who have abilities who fail to put those abilities to work. And we need to be reminded of the fact that that displeases the Lord. We need to be reminded of the fact that as a servant of the Lord, we must be a worker for the Lord. As a servant of the Lord, we must use what ability that we have in His service to Him. You see, the servant who did not use his talent wisely was called wicked, lazy, unprofitable. We need to beware, brother. We need to beware of the fact that the Lord is displeased with laziness and wasted opportunities. And if we want to someday hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," not only must we be a faithful servant, but we must be a worker for the Lord. We must not be a lazy servant. We must not be an unprofitable servant. But rather we must use what ability that we have been given to us in service to the Lord. But I also suggest, in order to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," we must also serve others, knowing that as we do so, we are serving the Lord. Another parable that we see given by Jesus, or by lesson that we see given by Jesus there after the parable of the talents is there, beginning in verse 31 through 46. And there we learn about the judgment day. And Jesus talks about how on that day the Son of Man will come in His glory with all His holy angels with Him, and He will sit on the throne of His glory. He says in verse 32, "All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left." He says in verse 34, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink?'" Now watch verse 38. Jesus said, When did we see you a stranger and take you in, naked or clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to him, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Think about that. You see, here we learn about those servants who truly possessed a servant's heart, and the fact that they were willing to serve others. When they saw those that were hungry, they gave them food. When they saw those that were thirsty, they gave them drink. When they saw a stranger that needed to be took in, they took him in. When they saw those that were naked and needed clothes, they clothed them. When they realized that the people were sick, what did they do? They visited them. What did they do with those that were in prison? They came and they visited them. You think about that. You think about these acts that are characterized by compassion and self-sacrifice. These acts that are characterized by service to others. And we need to recognize the fact that if we're going to someday hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," not only must we have a servant's heart, but we must likewise act upon our desire to be a servant. And we must serve others, knowing that as we do, we are serving the Lord. As we see there in verse number 40. When it is said, "Assuredly I say to you, and as much as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Think about that. You see, those on the right hand, they lived that life, characterized by a servant's heart who truly had compassion and made self-sacrifice for the benefit of others. Those on the left hand, though, they didn't, did they? Because as we go on to see, that the same thing was said to those on the left hand when it is said that he tells them in verse 41, "Then he will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry.'" But what's the difference? "And you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then we see, verse 44, they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, or stranger, or naked, or sick in prison, and not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And what's going to happen to them? And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Let that sink in. You see, if we are going to hear those words we long to hear, brethren, well done, good and faithful servant, we must recognize that we must serve others, knowing that as we do so, we are serving the Lord. But I also suggest to us, to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, we must also have compassion on others and be willing to forgive them. Go there with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 18. Here's another valuable lesson taught by the Lord here in Matthew 18. And here in Matthew 18, another parable taught by Jesus, a parable commonly referred to as the parable of the unforgiving servant. And as good Bible students, we know that parable. We're not going to take the time to read that parable and to really dive into that parable this morning. But we're going to recognize the fact that as Jesus concluded this parable, as he concludes talking about how there was this servant who owed a great debt to a king, a debt that was unbearable, that would be hardly able to repay, that servant begged him to have mercy and compassion on him, right? And what did that king do? He forgave him, right? Did that servant go on to do the same? He didn't, did he? There was one that owed him some money, and he demanded that they pay that money back, right? And we see that he didn't have that compassion, that mercy, that willingness to forgive as was done to him. And we see that he even threw him into prison there in verse 30. But I want you to notice as Jesus concluded this parable, we see that the master, when he found out about that, how did he react? He was angry. It upset him. He was angry and delivered that man who was unforgiving to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. But here's the point, verse 35. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Think about that. You see, valuable lesson for us here. Valuable lesson for us to be mindful of the fact that if we expect to receive mercy and compassion and forgiveness from our Heavenly Father, we must likewise be willing to give mercy and compassion and forgiveness to others. Because failure to do that will keep us from hearing, well done, good and faithful servant. You see, simply put, forgiveness from God is extended in the same measure we forgive one another. We learn about this in Matthew chapter 6. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, there to Matthew chapter 6. And notice these words of Jesus with me, beginning in verse number 14. There Jesus said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." But pay attention to verse 15. Because he says, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Do those words of Jesus grab your attention? They should. They should. Because here we learn that if we expect God to forgive us of our trespasses, we must be willing to forgive others of their trespasses. You see, simply put, our forgiveness from God hinges on our willingness to forgive others. And how sad that there are some who withhold compassion and forgiveness towards others. How sad that there are some who declare to be faithful servants of the Lord who withhold compassion and forgiveness towards others. How sad that is. But it's even sadder to know that those who fail to change from withholding compassion and forgiveness from others, they will someday be condemned to everlasting punishment. That's sad, isn't it? You see, I heard a preacher say once, and I quote, "We are losers if we do not forgive others," end quote. You know what he meant by that? What he meant by that is, we think that when we withhold compassion and forgiveness from others, that we're the ones winning because we're the one hurting that person that we're withholding that compassion and forgiveness from. But in reality, we're the one losing. We're the loser when we withhold compassion and forgiveness from others. And even when we may think that we're hurting those that we're withholding that compassion and forgiveness from, in reality, all we're doing is we're hurting ourselves. And ultimately, it's going to cost us our soul, the loss of our soul. Remember that. And understand that if we are going to someday hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," it is required of us to have compassion on others and to be willing to forgive them, just as our God has had compassion upon us and forgave us. To hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," I also suggest to us that we must not put self-gratification before the needs of others. There in Luke, the 16th chapter, again, as good Bible students, we're familiar with the context here as Jesus speaks of the rich man and Lazarus. But here in Luke chapter 16, we learn as Jesus speaks of this rich man and Lazarus, we learn, beginning in verse 19, that there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was also a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue." Why? Well, notice, "for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented." Again, many valuable lessons that can be gained from this text. But the one that I want to bring out and remind us of this morning is the fact that we learn here about a man who was highly regarded among men. We learn about this rich man who would have been highly regarded among men. This rich man who had anything that he wanted that money could buy. But there was a problem. That problem was selfishness. And it was because of his selfishness, he simply was disgusting in the Lord's sight. And what happened to him when he died? He was condemned to a place called torment. Think about that. He was condemned to a place called torments and was tormented into flame. Why? Because he was selfish. Because he put self-gratification before the needs of others. He put self and self-interest before the needs and interest of one in need. And you want to know something? When we do that, when we are a selfish people, and when we put self-gratification before the needs or interests of others, it displeases our Lord. And we need to be mindful that if we are going to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," we must not put self-gratification before the needs of others. But I also suggest to us this morning that if we are going to someday hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," we must seek to store up our treasure in heaven and not on earth. Go with me there to Matthew, the 6th chapter. And here in Matthew chapter 6, notice these words of our Lord with me, beginning in verse number 19. There Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." Now watch verse 21. Because he said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Think about that. You see, a man's treasure is simply what he puts his heart into and values the most. And Jesus is challenging the hearers here not to store up treasures upon earth where rust and moth destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but rather to store up treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys or where thieves break in and steal. Simply put, the challenge is, as we see there in verse 21, is the fact that we need to understand the need to set our mind and our heart upon God in heaven. That's important. And when you think about that, when you think about this challenge to make the choice between storing up treasures on earth or storing up treasures in heaven, I want to ask you the question, what is the greatest value in your heart? What's the greatest value in your heart? Where's your heart at? Where's your mind upon? Is it upon the things upon this earth? The temporary things, the perishable things? Or is your heart and mind upon God and upon getting to heaven? Where is it? I challenge you to really think about that. Because you see, there are a lot of people who consider themselves faithful servants of the Lord today who will declare their desire to go to heaven. But in reality, they really don't act like they want to go to heaven, do they? You see, think about that. If we truly have our minds set upon God, serving Him and going to heaven, guess what? There's not going to be any question, not only for us, but for anybody else, where our heart's at, is there? Everyone's going to know where our heart is. It's going to show by our actions. Our actions are going to speak louder than our words. We're going to put God first. We talked about that this morning, didn't we, Logan? Talked about that. The need to always put God first in our lives. The need to get our priorities straight. The need to put first things first. And if we truly have a servant's heart, if we truly desire heaven, we're going to put God first. Our focus is going to be upon the things above and not on the things on this earth. We need to be reminded of that. And we need to be reminded that if we want to someday hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," we need to act like it. We need to act like it. And we need to store up treasures in heaven and not on earth. You see, when I think about that, I can't help but to think about the parable of the young rich ruler. And this young rich ruler, he asked a very important question as a good Bible student, as you're familiar with. Remember what that question was, Billy? He asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" You know what that tells us? It tells us that here's a man who had a desire to go to heaven. Here's a man who wanted to inherit eternal life, so much so that he even asked the master teacher, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And as good Bible students, you remember Jesus went on to tell him what he must do about keeping the commandments and that. And you remember what he said? "I've done that. I've done all that." But Jesus said, "There's more." He goes on to tell him that if he truly desires that, he needs to sell all that he has and distribute to the poor and come follow him. How'd that parable end? That rich young ruler went away sad, didn't he? He went away sad. Why did he go away sad? Because he had a problem. covetousness of material, worldly possessions. He didn't want to depart with that, did he? You know what that tells us about that rich young ruler? It truly tells us where his heart was. It truly tells us that his heart was more upon the material, the physical things of this earth, and not really upon eternal life and heaven. And how sad it is that there are so many like that today. So many like that today who put the things of this world before serving God. But we need to understand that if we want to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," we must again put God first. We must set our heart upon God and upon serving Him. We must truly set our heart upon heaven and upon getting there and doing what is required of us in order to get there. And we must seek to store up treasure in heaven and not on earth. But I also suggest to us this morning that if we are going to someday hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," we must never be ashamed of our Lord, and we must endure the trials of this life, always being faithful to the Lord. You see, a true servant of the Lord will never disregard their master. They'll never disregard their master. They'll never disregard his commandments. They'll never be ashamed of him and his will. But rather, they will always exhibit courage and confidence in their master. You see, it's important that we need to understand that if we're going to someday hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," we must never be ashamed of our Lord. We learn about this in Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. And you remember what Jesus said there? He said, "For whoever is ashamed of me, him I will also be ashamed of when I come." Think about that. You see, if we are ashamed of our Lord, our Master, if we disregard him, if we fail to have courage to stand up when we are being persecuted for our belief and our service to our Lord, and we degrade him, guess what? He's going to be ashamed of us when he returns. You see, if we're going to receive the reward of heaven, we must endure the trials of this life that come upon us. There in Mark chapter 13, verse 13, again, as good Bible students, as you recall, Jesus speaking to his chosen disciples. And he's informing them about the impending persecutions and trials that were going to come upon them. You remember what Jesus told them? Remember what he said? He says, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved." Remember that as a servant of the Lord. Recognize that there are going to be trials and persecutions that's going to come upon you as you labor in service to the Lord. Remember that there are going to be some who are going to hate you for the Lord's sake. But also remember the words of our Lord and Savior. "He who endures to the end shall be saved." And never forget the fact that the reason for why some will not hear those wonderful words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," is simply because of a lack of faithfulness. We must again be faithful to the Lord, and we must be faithful to the Lord unto death. That means even if it cost us our head for being faithful to the Lord, we must do it if we expect to receive the reward. For as Jesus promised that persecuted church there in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Remember what he promised? "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." Remember that. And remember that even death cannot defraud a faithful servant of their reward. I now ask, how are you doing in serving the Lord? How are you doing? Can you expect to someday hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Can you? If not, why not? If not, why not? For there is no greater words that could ever be said than the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Knowing that, may we all strive to do what is required of us as servants of the Lord, so that we all may someday expect to hear those words we long to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Maybe there's one here this morning who has not yet submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, but you too someday want that hope of heaven. You have an opportunity to submit yourself in obedience to the Lord and His will this very hour. For if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son, the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can turn from sin and turn to God. You can confess Jesus Christ before men. And you can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope of eternal life in heaven, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. And may we all always remember the need to continue to keep on keeping on. The need to remain faithful unto death. For as we just talked about, Jesus has promised that the crown of life to those who do. Maybe there's one here this morning who has already submitted himself in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you haven't been conducting yourself and doing what is required of you as a servant of the Lord. You're encouraged to repent of your sins. You're encouraged to turn from that and to get back on that straight and narrow way that leads to life this very hour. Well, you still have that opportunity too, so that you can once again have that assurance of someday hearing those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So if there would be one here this morning who would be in need of the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song David selected.